Let's try. Good morning. Good to see everybody. Let's try to finish up the sugya. There is more. We did not cover every single part of the sugya. I think we're going to get bogged down for too long. So I think what we need to try to do is like this. We need to finish up the answers of the Gemara. We got in through two of the four answers of the Gemara up to the third answer, which might just have two versions. It might not be four different answers, but two versions of the third answer. Try and understand that. And then a little bit, try to look at the overall question of what on earth is going on here. Why does he have to pay at all? Why does the Nikah have to pay at all? Again, that the Nikah has to pay when he does something is more understandable. But when the Makif just puts it up, what halacha is it? Because again, what's surprising is that if the Makif would approach the Nikah in advance and ask him to pay, he wouldn't have to pay. So why is it that now that he went ahead and did it, why does he then have to pay? So that's, I guess, the big mystery that hovers over the sugya. I don't know that we'll have full clarity, but maybe we'll have at least the beginnings of an approach to try and understand that. So what was the question that the Gemara asked? The Gemara said as follows. The Gemara brought a machlokas about what hakol in the Mishnah means. Right? Is hakol ufi mashagadar? Again, this is in Rabbi Yossi. Right? Is hakol ufi mashagadar? It was hakol to make kanim bezol, the cheapest version of kanim. So the Gemara said, the Gemara is medayik, that we have a little bit of an issue. We need to understand what's the difference between the shita of the Tanakhama and the shita of Rabbi Yossi. Because the Tanakhama says that if the makif builds 1, 2, and 3, then the nikaf is going to be putter. So the mashmaos is, why didn't he say 4 as well? Because if he built number 4, then he would be chayav to pay something. So there is a situation within the resha, within the Tanakhama, where there would be a chayav to pay. And then we look at the Seifa, and the Seifa tells us that Amai Begadar SRV, so he gets up and he builds the fourth one. And again, as far as we have seen until now, we're assuming that Amad is whether it was the Makif or whether it was the Nikaf, he's going to have to pay. So if you hold, like Rav Huna, that Hakol in Rav Yossi means the Fi Mashagada according to what he actually used, so then there is a lower level chiv that's still available for the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama could say to make kanim bezo. We discussed last time why it's not just to make kanim, why those two things have to go together. Rabbeinu Yonah. But at least we have a differential between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi that allows us to give a pshat in that machlokas. But if you hold a chiyah barav, according to the Rabbi Yossi, you're only paying to make kanim bezol, so what's left for the Tanakhama to say that you pay? So again, the Gemara offers three answers for chiyah barav. Answer number one is that according to the Tanakhama, he could say, I'm only paying for a shomer. The cost of a shomer would be less. We discussed a little bit last time, it seems to indicate that this issue is not because of hezekriah, because a shomer shouldn't help for hezekriah. But we said from the Meiri that no, maybe it could even help for hezekriah, because a person will not really stand next to the field staring in if there's a shomer sitting there with a police presence. What they do now here is, besides whatever guards and stuff we have by the shul, before Shabbos, the police will leave an empty police car. They'll park it in front of the shul as an extra deterrent. It's like less than a shomer. The theory is that again, if somebody's just walking by and looking for an easy target, so that might be enough of a deterrent. So there is an idea that there's some sort of there's some deterrence which comes from There's some deterrence which comes from the fact that there is somebody there. So it might even help for Hezekiah. That was answer number one of the Gemara. Answer number two of the Gemara was, whether you have to pay for the first three walls or not. Whether you have to pay for the first three walls or not. Tanakhama would say you only have to pay for the fourth wall. Again, the rate is going to be to make Tana Bezol. But how many do you have to pay for? That is going to be the machlokas. Tanakhama is going to say you only pay for number four, and Rav Yossi is going to say you pay for all three. What was the svara for that? So Rashi had this svara of Kevin Shiyotza Zakai Mi Beis Din, that once there already was a psak that got you out of the first three, then you can't go back and revisit. That psak. We said, according to Tosfos, this kasha, it could be, right? It could be that you don't actually have to go. Maybe when Rashi says shahu sham yamim rabim, maybe the theoretical possibility is enough that it already kicks in. Fine, that was, and then Rabbi Yossi would say, when new information becomes available, you are allowed to go back and revisit. Good. But now we're up to answer number, again, there were more details than that, but now we're up to answer number three. So says the Gemara. Iva Yisema, again, about 6-7 lines up from the bottom of the page. So Iva Yisema, alternatively, you can say, Makif v'nikaf ika b'nayu. That the difference between the two of them is when the Makif puts up the fourth wall, or the Nikaf puts up the fourth wall. Meaning what? The Tanakhama holds Taim Adam Nikaf. The only reason they got to pay is because the Nikaf got up. And that's why Megalgin Alavas HaKol. That's why he's going to have to pay for all of the walls. Aval Amad Makif, but if the Makif stood up, Ein Anosi in the Lel Demeris, he only has to pay for the fourth. That's the Shita Tanakhama. Why would I distinguish between the Makif and the Nikaf? Right? The Makif is much less of a revelation of the benefit than the Nikaf. When the Nikaf does it, he's being Megala his das, that this is something that he likes. When it's the Makif, then it's, well, objectively you're getting Hana. Why those are factors, we still don't know yet. Right? That's still part of the mystery of what's going on here. But we understand, I think, intuitively, that the role of the Makif, the role of the Nikaf, is much more of an active one in terms of what's going, in terms of showing some sort of what we would call a nichusa, that he's happy about it. Right? I think. So again, so according to this answer, the Tanakhama would say if the Makif gets up, he would have to pay for everything. And if the Nikaf gets up, he has to pay for all four of the walls. If the Makif gets up, he only has to pay for the fourth. That's according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi Savar, Rabbi Yossi holds Loshna Nikaf Veloshna Makif. Doesn't matter whether it's the Nikaf, doesn't matter if it was the Makif. Im Amar Vigadar, if somebody puts up the fourth one, Megalgin Alav Esakol. At that point he has to pay for all of it. For all of it. Okay. So fine. Now Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashba both point out the following. And again, it seems to be obvious, but sometimes it's better just to see that they stated it. Well, maybe we should do it this way. If you're trying to find If you're trying to find this answer in Rashi, you can't really find it. You can't really find it. All right, the last Yivayisema is Yivayisema, right? It says, Makif v'nikaf ikabinayo. The Tanakama is slave to Rabbi Yossi. Tanakama was like Rabbi Yossi, Eicha de Gadra Nikaf. Ava Rabbi Yossi, Lesle, the Tanakama begadar Makif. So again, we'll get into Rashi in a second, but clearly, Rashi is distinguishing completely between whether it was the Nikaf or the Makif. And Rabbi Tanakama is going to hold one way, and Rabbi Yossi is going to hold the other way. Not that the Tanakama holds. The way we read it just now, is that the Tanakama holds that only if the Nikav does it, then Megal Ginalav as Hakol. If the Makif does it, you only pay for the fourth one. And Rabbi Yossi holds no matter what, you're going to pay for all of them. That's clearly not what the next Rashi is saying. So before we get involved in that Rashi, so what the Rishonim point out is that Rashi had a different girsa. Where is this? Second. It's written in reverse order, so we're going to jump in the middle, but I think it's the easier way of understanding it. It's on page Samach Beis, if you have your Kovetz. But there the Rabbeinu Yonah says, V'girsas ha-ga'onim zah behepech mezos. The girsa of the ga'onim is opposite the girsa of Rashi. And again, we didn't look at the girsa of Rashi yet, because the girsa of Rashi is the next girsa that we have. V'hachi girsina, like, this is the girsa of the ga'onim. Tanakama Sarah Taimadama Nikaf the Magagun of Sakov. The Nikaf, that's why you Magagun everything, because the Nikaf was the one who stood up. Hamakif Putter. But if the Makif did, then he would not have to pay. Rav Yossi Sar Veloshna Makif Veloshna Nikaf. Right? The question is, so what is pshat in the, Gaonim? What's the Svara? Meaning, the only shita that we had so far, to be Mechalik and say that you don't go back to the other walls, was what? Right? Meaning the distinction between wall 4 and the rest of the walls, the only svar that we have seen so far to distinguish between them is whether you say like what the previous answer said, which is whether your yatsa zakai mi beis din. Right? Is there a psak? Is there somehow a psak already on the first walls, and now we're not allowed to revisit that? So the chora he holds, the Gaon, this version holds, that according to the Tanakhama, once Yotza Zakai mi Beis Din, once the Beis Din already let you off on the first three walls, so you can't go back. So if the Makif does it, there's nothing that you can do when it comes to the first three walls. What about the Nikaf? Why, if the Nikaf builds the fourth wall, why would that be Mechayev me? It must be that he holds that this issue of going Kevan Sheyotza Zakai mi Beis Din, again, it's almost like a shift up from what we saw in the previous answer. Right? Previously, we kind of said that the distinction between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakhama was whether you, when something happens later, can you go back and revisit the Psak now. Now what the Gemara seems to be saying, according to the Gaonim's version of the Gemara, is that according to the Tanakhama, if the Nikaf builds it, you can go back and you can revisit the psak. Why? Because the facts changed. The original psak was on the assumption that the Nikaf had no benefit, and therefore the Nikaf wouldn't pay anything for it. Oh, but is that true anymore? It's not true anymore. So if the Makif got up, So that nothing's really changed from the perspective of the nikaf. So you can't go back to revisit the psak. There's nothing that's in the equation which requires going back. But if the nikaf gets up, and now he is megala, he reveals that the whole thing was nichale, the whole thing was really good. Okay, so now the Beis Din has to revisit. And that's all within the Tana Kama. Reb Yossi would then say, Reb Yossi would then say that no matter what, whoever does it, you're going to have to go back. Why is that? So he has a broader understanding of when do we go back, similar to what we said beforehand, right? He's going to say that we go back as long as a fact on the ground changed, even if it's not related to the das of the nikaf. According to Tana Kama, you need something to change in the perspective of the nikaf. Once we have that change, so you have to revisit. According to Reb Yossi, based on this answer, so then the whole idea of once anything changes, the facts change, even if we don't know if the da'as changed, you're allowed to revisit the psak. Is that clear? Okay. What's the weakness of this argument? There's a very obvious weakness to this argument, and I don't have an answer to this question. But l'chora, according to this answer, what happens if the makif puts up the fourth wall? According to the Tana Kama. It's the way that Rabbeinu Yonah just said it. He says you'd be putter. Interesting. One second. So there's a slight change in Rabbeinu Yonah versus the way we have the Gemara, right? Our Gemara said that if it's Amad Makif, then he gives him the Demei Revias. Rabbeinu Yonah seems to say you're putter. So if he actually has that gears to the Gemara and assumes that you'd be putter, so Nechor is a very strong kasha on the Gohan. What's the kasha? What did the Mishnah say? Hamakiv is chaver, mishajot v'gadar tzorishon, v'sashini v'sashini, just ein mechayvin oso. If you understand that the Mishnah is talking about, according to Tana Kama, until now we're talking about the Makiv, then why does the Mishnah not say, v'gadar tzorishon, v'sashini v'sashini, v'sarvias, the fourth wall? If the Makiv puts up the fourth wall, according to the way Rabbeinu Yonah has the girsa, you don't have to pay. And that's the biggest chiddush. So it's almost like Iker Chaser, the major point that is missing, missing from the Mishnah. So I'm not sure. According to the gears that we have, even within the gears of the Gaonim, I see the Ritva has it and others as well. It's not, if he has to pay for the revius, it's not such a kasha. But if you say you're going to be putter for the revius, then that is more complicated. You hear what I'm saying? So yeah, so again, the kasha is only according to, Ben Yonah seems to have a slightly different gear even than our version of the Gaon. But again, so that's answer number three. in the Gemara. That's not the answer of Rashi. We're going to see now the Gersa. The Rashi seems to be the Gersa of the Lishna Achrina. So again, the MS is there probably are not four different answers in the Gemara. We have it as four, but each of them probably only had one of the versions of the third. And then we will point out the weakness of Rashi's pshat, and then we'll just try to look and I guess tie up some loose ends in the sugya so we can move on to Runya. Move on to Runya tomorrow. Good? Okay. So says the Gemara, Lishna Achrina, an alternative version of this answer of the Gemara. Lishna Achrina, Makiv and Nikav Ikavina. Yeah, the Makiv and Nikav are the difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. Tanakama Savar, Tanakama holds Im Gadar Makiv Es Harivis Nami Yahivle. If the Makif puts up the fourth wall, then you also give him what? Also give him sounds like what are you giving him? For the first three walls. That's the also, besides the fourth. If the Makif, again, hold up. If the Makif decides to put up the fourth wall, then now the Nikav has to pay for everything. Rabbi Yossi Savar Imam Nikav Gadas Ravias who the Yahivle the Galidaite the Nikhale Avim God and Makif Lo Yahivle Midi. According to this answer, the Tanakhama is going to say that not just if the Nikav puts up the fourth wall, but even if the Makif puts up the fourth wall, no matter what, you have to pay for everything. And Rabbi Yossi holds, no, if the Nikav puts it up, so then he's Megala his Das. That's why he has to pay for everything. He's showing that it's Nikolai. But if the Makif puts it up, the Nikav does not have to pay for anything. This is the version that Rashi has, and the version that Rashi is going to attempt to explain. So let's see Rashi. Says Rashi, the Tanakama is Lady Rabbi Yossi. The Tanakama holds like Rabbi Yossi that the Nikav has to pay for everything. Hey Chod the Gadra Nikav when the Nikav does it. Aba Rabbi Yossi less late the Tanakama big other Makif. But Rabbi Yossi does not agree with the Tanakama when the Makif puts it up. Tanakama suffer. What is the Tanakama hold? It's very clear what Rashi's saying here. Lo Shna Nikav Lo Shna Makif. It doesn't matter who puts up the fourth wall. Whoever puts up the fourth wall, ki gadol revius mechayvin oso. Once the fourth wall goes up, you are chayiv to pay. You're chayiv to pay. Where do you even get that from? Datanakama v'makifari. Who's the subject? Who's the subject of Tanakama? He's clearly talking from the perspective of the Makif. So if we want to make a diuk and say that you're going to have to pay when he puts up a fourth, that's obviously talking about the Makif. He's the subject. V'daikina mimil say, or if he is mechayven or so, v'kosh again kishigadrin nikaf, digoli daite. At that point, he has revealed his das. And Rabbi Yossi would hold, that only if the Nikav does it. So what's the Svara? So again, it's the exact same Svara as the Gaonim in the opposite direction. Right? Meaning, what's the Svara to say that whether it's the Makif, right, the Tanakhama now was saying whether it's the Makif or whether it's the Nikav putting up the fourth wall, as soon as it gets put up, you have to pay. What's that Svara? That Svara is that until now you were Pater, because there was no clear hana'ah to you. Once there is hana'ah to you, whether you showed that you wanted the hana'ah, or whether the hana'ah just came because the market put it up, the Tanakhama says, well, now the Beis Din is going to revisit it. If you get hana'ah, you have to pay. Why? We'll talk about that soon. But if you get hana'ah, you have to pay. That's the Yisod of Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi says, no. It has to do with whether I showed that I am benefiting from this hana. If the hana doesn't help me, if the hana doesn't do anything for me, that's the hana that I have to pay for. What's the surprising part on the weakness of this argument is that this is the first time that they're flipped in terms of who's being machmir and who's being mako. Right? Until this point, we have been assuming that the Tanakhama is going to do the more lenient opinion and that Rabbi Yossi is being more machmir. That was consistent in the first two answers and in the Shita of the Gaonim. But now the Tanakhama is going to be more machmir than Rabbi Yossi. That's what Tosfos points out over here. Right? Says Tosfos, Rabbi Yossi Savar Imam Nikaf V'Gadar Sarvias Af Al Gav Da'ad Hashta. Even though until now Hayim Machmir, the Rabbi Yossi was the Machmir, and why were we assuming that all along? Kid the Mashma Lishna the Megalgin Lo V'Sakol, because that's what Megalgin Lo V'Sakol sounds like. It sounds like you're going to do everything on him. You're throwing the kitchen sink at him. So Lashon, which sounds more chamor, lahaf nishna lo have hachi, the Lashon im amal mashmanikaf. This one is focusing more on im amal, if he gets up, and suggesting that he getting up sounds like it's somebody different. Again, he probably could have just as easily said the opposite way, but that as soon as he gets up, is presumably talking about the Nikaf. So again, in Svara, you basically need the same Svaras to explain Rashi and the Gaonim, but why each one would want to say what he says, that is a little bit less clear. Good? Okay, let's try and understand a little bit what this halacha is. Why should he have to pay anything? Right? The makif, if he would go to the nikaf before and then ask for payment, the nikaf could say no. So how come now that it's built, the Nikav has to participate. The Nikav has to participate. That is, I guess, the overarching shaila of this Gemara. So there have been a few phrases that have been bandied about, and that we need to try and make a little bit of sense out of. The Ramban, way back a little while ago, I think there's a paragraph I stuck on the Makoros more than once, not sure if anybody ever actually saw it inside. There was a paragraph that was the Adayin. It was tucked away in the middle of a larger piece. And he makes the following point. It was on Dalet Amud Beis. It's on page Nun Zayin, if you have the Kovetz. He really asks this question. V'adayin yesh adaptik b'zeh. What's going on in this whole sugya? If he can't force him to participate in the building of the wall, why now do we say that he has to pay? Why do we say he has to pay? The Lech Ora makes no sense. Because I hurry up and I start building without asking you, now you have more of a reason that you have to pay? Does not seem to make any sense. Ulididi lo kasha. Ramban says, I am not troubled. Shahrezeh doma b'miktas liyored l'soch stechaberov unata'a shelo b'rshus. He says it is a little bit similar to another sugya. We have a sugya of Yored Lesoch Sdei Chavero, somebody who goes into his friend's field and decides to better the field in some way. He does not ask first. did not ask first. Can he now collect? Can he now collect for the amount of money that he put towards the cost? So it's a sugya in other masechtos, and it's not 100% clear. And also, we need to understand why should it even be true. So the Gemara there makes a distinction. The Gemara there seems to make the following distinction, that there's a distinction between a soda which is a suya lekach and a soda which is not a suya lekach. Meaning, I think we mentioned this perhaps once before, which is that if you have a field that every year you grow wheat in, and you haven't planted the wheat yet. Now I go and I plant wheat in your field, so it's a suya for wheat. So that I can charge you for, because it's a suya lekach. Why? What's the pshat? It seems to me the pshat is that basically I turned myself into your worker. I turned myself into your worker, into a poel, into an aris, into a sharecropper, to do something that you already wanted. It's a chiddush that I could even do that. It's a chiddush that I could even do that. Why should that be the case? But that seems to be the pshat. But then you needed a big distinction between a sada which is a suyalita and a sada which is eina a suyalita. Right? If you decide to plant, I don't know, you know, cucumbers in my wheat field, or you decide to build something, I feel, well, what's going on with that? So machlokas rishonim, what I can say in the situation of eina asuya lekach, and that might be very relevant here, because the question is, depending on what kind of field we're talking about, what kind of bika we're talking about, is it asuya to have a geder or not? Right? If the geder that we're talking about is a hezek ri'iya fence, and it's required, so then maybe that would be the same thing as a suya lekach. I'm just going ahead and doing it for you. But according to most Rishonim, that's not what we've been talking about. According to most Rishonim, it might be a hezekri offense, but it's a makam shelo nahagu ligdor. So that would be the same as a sada she'ena suya lita. So what's the halacha of she'ena suya lita? So there are different versions. So some in certain situations, it seems you're allowed to say tol etzecha, just uproot it. You didn't do me any taivas. You didn't do me any favors. Other places, it seems to be that we can force the guy to pay, but at a very low rate. Because the ma'isa, he's got a certain shevach. This is what Tosfos is struggling with in the Tosfos de Meikanen Bezol. Right, what does Tosfos say there? Tosfos says, "Vim tomar ma'ishna misoda she'ina suyalita." How is this different than a field which is not made for planting? "Dim nata chaver shlo b'shesed." If somebody goes and plants it without his permission, "Amar Rabbi Shmuel b'ashor." Rabbi Shmuel saying, "Ba metzia shaman lo." You estimate the value via the altachtona, and you pay the lower of the values. So for Omari, the Ri says the shiny hacha. No, our case is different because the Mekhan Mizol seems to be higher than that. The Matzi Omar li didi sagili bin a tira barzuza. It could be for a watchman. Mekhamakom to Mekhan Mizol, yoivlei. The anan saade di maimotsam kokach mizol hayagodebem. It's clear to everybody. It's clear as day to everybody that if you had the opportunity, to fence in your field so cheaply, that you would do it. So that's really that's really what the struggle is in terms of understanding the sugi here. Because on the other side, we keep bringing up the concept of nehenah. And yorei and nehenah don't go exactly. Nehenah sounds like I benefited you. But if you benefited me against my will, do I have to pay for that? What's interesting, and I think Tosos was that in Sian Kofalo from Makamago, one of the Tosos that we mentioned. Tosos is mechalik when it comes to nehenah. Usually when it comes, like, the sugya in Baba Kama, again, I know we haven't done it inside. Just, I think we've picked up, hopefully, enough of some of the details. Usually when we have a question, what's the case of zenehne v'zelo chaser? Zenehne v'zelo chaser means that I did something to get hana'ah. Right? Let's say a classic case, which the Gemara ends up saying is zenehne v'zelo chaser, which is that I squat in your house. Your house is empty, and it's not going to cost you anything. Okay, in the end, the Gemara says that my presence and I'm breathing, there are costs involved, but I'm doing something to get hana'ah, and then we have to decide if you were chaser or not. If you were chaser, then I have to pay. If not, I have to pay. But in all those cases, I am the one who is generating the hana'ah, right? I do something for which I am now getting hana'ah. Here, I'm sitting back. I'm doing nothing. I'm sitting in my living room. You decide to go in and give me hana'ah. Is that the same thing? Doesn't seem like it. Then, if we then go say that you have to pay for that you have to pay for it because there was a giloy das on the hana'ah. Okay, but that's only in that situation. That doesn't help us for any of the situations in which the makif is the one who's doing it. Why don't you go into several answers in the Gemara over here? So again, it's really, some are talking about yoreid, some are talking about nehenah, and this our sugya does not, I don't know what the right word is, it doesn't fit neatly into any box. It doesn't fit neatly into any box. And then, I don't have a Rambam with me, but if you look at the Rambam, the Rambam is interesting because the Rambam brings this halacha, if I remember correctly, right? The Rambam brings this halacha in Hilchos Shechinim. In Hilchos Shechinim. He does not... He does not bring the halachas of Yored or Nehenah in Hilchos Shechinim. He does not bring the halachas of Yored. So it doesn't seem like the Rambam is understanding it as a halacha in Hilchos Shechinim. So what is it? It doesn't fit neatly into Nehenah. It doesn't fit neatly into Yored. It doesn't fit neatly into Nehenah. It doesn't fit anywhere in the way that we would normally want to explain it. So it could be, again, it might be on the one hand the easy way out, but sometimes the easy way out is the pshat. It could be that our entire sugya is really just a new din. It's a new halacha, which touches on some other areas that we know. But Eina Chanami, it does not fit in. It doesn't fit in. And that's why, maybe, because again, why can't the guy say, Tol Avanecha? I don't want to pay for you. The Makiv comes and builds for walls. I don't want it. Take your wall and go away. Why can't he say that? We don't have a Gemara that says he can say that. What it seems like is going on is that we have these halacha concepts. We have a yored, and we have a nehenah. Maybe it's Reduk and the Ramban. Right? The Ramban didn't say it's yored. Right? The lashon of the Ramban, if you read it carefully, Hari zedome bemiktas liyored. Interesting. Right? It's similar a little. He didn't say it's dome liyored. It almost seems like he's trying to say it's not yored. And it's not nehenah. And the fact that the Rambam puts it in Shechinim, maybe what he's telling us, maybe this is just a brand new halacha. Maybe this is just a halacha of what we would call takanas hashchinim. That there's the same way that we said that the walls, these hezek re'iyah walls, was just a new concept that Chazal put in place with different chiyuvim, because they realized that neighbors have to be able to function as neighbors. And if you're going to have a makiv and a guy next to each other, so yeah, we have to be careful, right? We can't be mechayev the nikav to pay for more than he is getting. And we take into account the fact that if he would have gone ahead and he would have asked him from the beginning, we have no way, we have no mechanism, to force him to join in because it doesn't fit neatly into Beis Hamikdash. But once those walls are up, and like Tosfos, we have an Anan Saadeh that is getting some benefit. And we know that anybody would pay a little bit of the walls in order to make it work. And we know there's a concept of Yorid. And we know there's a concept of Nehna. We know all of these different things. Chazal said, if at that point, once the walls are up, the neighbor could say, I'm not paying you anything. Take your wall and scram. And get it off my property. The Emma says, we don't even know whose property it's on. We never really discussed that. Is he putting it in his own? Is he? It seems to be that we just have a new animal here. And it has bits and pieces. And the Rishonim will try and push through. Again, and then we understand everything, right? So yes, if the Nikav shows he's getting Hana, so he's getting Hana. So we have, how much do we charge that? So we have to figure that out. If he's showing that he's taking advantage of it, then we're going to slap him up all the way. If he shows that he's getting partial, so we'll hit him up a little bit of the way. He didn't have to. But they're neighbors, and neighbors have to be able to live together, and therefore Chazal have the right to make certain takanos. And even though it's, in a certain sense, a bidyevet takana, because of the chatchila, there's no way to be mechayev him, that's the way that it works. That's the way that it works, is sometimes when you benefit from your neighbor, you have whatever it is with your neighbor, you have to figure out a way to make it work. And I think that might be the pshat here, and the best raya to it, maybe the Rambam. Just in terms of categorizing it, when the Rambam puts this halacha in Hachashchinim, and it's not a halacha like yours, it's not a halacha like Nana, it doesn't fit neatly into those categories, what he seems to be telling us is what we have in front of us is unique. It's sui generis. So yes, we have to touch in on all of those other suyas because there are going to be factors that we can glean from it. But push comes to shove at the end of the day, when we're stuck and we think, well, why do you have to pay anything? Why can't you tell me? There were certain things that Chazal just understood are bigger than this particular makiv and nikav. So like, I don't know, Ruben, I think, yeah, somebody said last week, but maybe I'm the guy who doesn't want to pay. And I wanted to, I don't want to pay anything. I can't afford it. It may happen. But we have to go with what's normal. And the normal is that if it's a field owner and it's that low a price, then we're going to go ahead and do it. But I think that this idea of it being takanas hashchinim, and that, again, which may be rooted in Yorid, and it may be rooted in Nehenah, but the overall arching principle is that Chazal understood that we have to make relationships between neighbors work. And it's going to require creating as much as we can tap into halachos that we know. So of course we would prefer to do that. But when we can't at times, and that's why Hadar Dino come up. There are so many sugis involved. But in the end, we need to make sure that the neighbors are going to be able to function as neighbors. Any questions? Yeah, the mahalach isn't perfect. But I think it brings together a few of those loose ends. I don't want to get too tied down by the, again, we could spend another week on the sugya and not run out of material. But I think Mirat Hashem, tomorrow we'll move on. Again, it's not unrelated to Runya, the story that the Gemara has, and then the din of Bar Metzra, and we'll see how that goes. Again, look forward, Mirat Hashem, to seeing everybody in person.